It's good to be with you all today. What is today? Resurrection Sunday. Amen. That's good. So keep that in mind. I like to use a computer. I hope you don't mind. I like to have a phone with a clock on it too, so I can see what time it is. I don't want to keep you too long. I know that the only thing standing between you and lunch is me. So I know how that works. In Luke chapter 24, if you want to turn there in your Bible, you can. I'm a King James guy myself. If you're not, that's okay. I think God will forgive you. No, I'm kidding. I said it to the pastor. You know, we talk a lot. So Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be up on the screen. Okay. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? I like that statement. That's good. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, I want you to notice in verse 8, very succinct words. And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. So today I'd like to preach on remembering his words. I think it does its good once in a while to remember what Jesus said. Okay? Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what this day represents. And Father, I pray that today you'll guide us along as we look at your word. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, man, like Nathan, today would be a great day to give our lives to Jesus Christ because he rose from the dead for us on a day like today many years ago. Father, I pray you'll bless our time together. Bless the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, have your way in every heart and life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Remembering his words. I need to prepare you for what we're going to talk about today. These women had been busy preparing for this day. If you remember what it said, it says that they had prepared spices for that day. According to Mark 16:1, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. You see, when someone is buried in Israel, they don't dress up the body like we do, okay? They do it differently. This is a picture of a graveyard right outside of Jerusalem. We wanted to take your pastor last year, but his wife said no because they started a war and he didn't want to get involved in it. So that's okay. I said, hey, take me. Just give me a gun when I go. We'll be fine. What they do is they wrap up the body and they allow it to decay. If you look closely on these pictures, you'll see like a hole. There's a hole inside the tomb. They put a hole there. And you know why that is? When you put the body in, it allows the body to decay. And that's the purpose of these tombs, was to allow that body to decay. Now, until the decaying process is complete, they apply the spice mixture to keep the body from stinking. And this is how they would show respect for the deceased. They knew he was dead. He had been there since Friday night, and they had seen it firsthand. And it wasn't told them secondhand. They watched him die. They saw him die. So they knew the body ought to be here. But they wouldn't have thought that, Pastor, if they'd have remembered what he said. They needed to remember his words. They went there Easter Sunday. Their expectation was to find a dead body. They could wash it. They're going to prepare it for a proper burial. But at this point, they didn't remember. They forgot. The older I get it, the easier it is to forget. Anybody with me on that? Anybody ever forget? I forget from time to time. Forgetting is becoming a pastime for me. I do it all the time. My wife says, "Hey, don't you remember I told you?" And I'm like, "No, I forgot." So, you ever do that? You ever forget? Anybody ever, other than me, ever forget? A couple of you. Okay, that's fine. I can't remember if you forgot. Yeah, okay. ever forgotten to do something really, really important? Like brush your hair? Now, Pastor doesn't have to worry about that. Bless his heart. James tells us something about this when he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is." I did that once. One time. Now, you've got to understand, every day before I go to work, I get up in the morning. My wife will tell you, I go in, I take a shower, I get all cleaned up, brush my teeth, brush my hair, and then go to work. Now, I work in an office environment, so a lot of people see me. I go in there every day, I want to look real nice, and I want to get nice and clean. I was in a particular hurry this one day, and I brushed my teeth, and I got dressed, but I forgot to look in the mirror before I left. I did tell you I work in an office environment. You don't wear hats to work. So, Kevin, when I got to work, I worked the whole day, and never even noticed till the end of the day, because when I was getting ready to go home, like to go to the bathroom before you leave, because sometimes the traffic at home gets real bad and you get stuck in traffic, and that's not a good sign. So I go to the bathroom and I look in the mirror and I realize that I forgot to brush my hair. And you say, "Well, your hair looks fine." Yeah, but it was going like this. And at that time, I'm in the bathroom trying to do something to my hair, thinking like, they've seen me like this all day. They must be thinking, something's wrong with you. No, what's wrong was I forgot. That's one day I'll never forget, and that was a wake-up call. I don't forget now, and so I'm constantly checking my hair, Kevin, to make sure it's brushed. And I brushed it this morning, and then I went back in the bathroom and made sure it was brushed, and then I got all dressed, put my tie on, tie clasped, everything. Go back, check, is your hair brushed? I'm crazy about it now. What do you think they forgot? What do you think they forgot? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 to 23, "While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, Son of man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." He told them plainly, okay? He said, "How do you know he told them plainly?" They wrote it in the Bible. Hello? Okay. What else? Luke 9:22. "Son of man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, chief priests, scribes, be slain, and be raised the third day." Okay. "Then he took them to 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. All the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked, spitefully treated, and spitted on. They shall scourge him, put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. So he told them, it's just they didn't remember. You see, the quotes of Jesus, I believe the angels are referring to, but there are other things that Jesus said that we need to hold on to. Can I give you four things that I think Jesus said that I think we need to really hang on to today? Now, this is not about the resurrection. This is about some other things that Jesus said that sometimes I believe we forget. Remember his words of rest. What did Jesus say? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What's a yoke used for? Plowing. What do you do with it? It's for work. Put two animals together, you put a yoke on them, then they will pull together. Now, generally speaking, one is going to be the lead animal, and it's going to pull a little harder than the other. Jesus says, "Get in the yoke with me." The lead animal pulls harder than the smaller animal. Guess who the lead animal is when you yoke up with Jesus? Jesus is the lead animal. He's going to pull harder. That's why he says, "My burden is light." Because you won't have to pull anymore if you let Jesus. Well, there you go. I read a guy named Joshua Jarvis. He said, Jesus is saying that his yoke is a choice. Every decision you make, you can choose your burden. You can choose to take up your burden. The fallen burden, it becomes too heavy. Or you can choose his. You can choose to be the lead animal and carry all the weight, or be the small animal and let him carry it for you. Well, amen, glory, right there, preacher. His burden is light, but more specific than that, his burden only requires a few things from us: faith and love. What we have to be careful of is who we get yoked with. We don't choose whether we will serve a master, but we get to choose the master. You get to choose. You can yoke up with the world, and they'll make you pull it. Or you can yoke up with Jesus, and he'll pull the load for you. That's what Jesus is saying here. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I like that passage. I love that passage. But remember his words of rest. Not only his words of rest, but remember his words of reassurance. That's what he says to his disciples. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That "nor forsake thee," you know what that word means? Discard. I'm not going to discard you. Man, that's something good to remember. Listen, I've had a lot of friends in my day, and sometimes the friends are good, sometimes the friends are bad, but Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. I've had friends when I needed something, they weren't there. Anybody ever had friends like that? Fair weather friends. I had a friend once, and he said, "Hey, I need to borrow your truck." I'm like, "All right. So what are you going to do?" I'm going to drive to Florida. I said, "Okay." I said, "Do me one favor." He said, "What's that?" "So when you get there, change the oil in it because it's getting kind of low. I need you to get an oil change." "Yeah, okay." So when we got back to Ohio from Florida, which is 1,000 miles each way, he said, "You know what? I forgot to change oil." I checked it. There was none left. I said, "Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Good to have you. God bless you, brother." And, yeah, I did say that. I know you're thinking I didn't, but I did. I was trying to be nice. Know what I didn't do anymore? I didn't load him a truck. I was reading after a guy named Stephen Zotterer, and I'm reading about percentage of friendships. I've had some friends. I've had some good friends. According to research, we make just 29 real friends in our lifetime, and only 6 of them will last the distance. 6 friends, Albert. Think it. Now think in your mind, who are my 6 closest friends? How many friends do you have that's going to make it the whole time? I ain't got a lot, but study charted the social lives of 2,000 people showed that we lose touch with almost 50% of the friends we make. Statistically, one poll found out the average friendship lasts for 17 years, but 17% of responders said they've had the same best friend for 30 years. Then he goes on to say, friends play a crucial role in our lives. They give us a sense of belonging, a connection. They help us navigate the difficult times. Having good friends can give us better health. You know, you feel better if you got good friends. I got good friends, Josh. I feel pretty doggone good. That's what I do. I feel great. Listen, friends can help you. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake or discard you. I'm going to stay with you. Listen, remember, this, it's a reassuring thing. Remember what Jesus said. If you remember these things, take it to heart, all right? Number one, rest. Remember what he said about reassurance, and then remember his words of relief. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he will abide with you. Huh? What did you say? Forever. Not till the end of your life, but forever. Listen, you realize if you're a Christian, if you've been born into this world, in essence, you're going to live forever somewhere. You can live in heaven with Jesus. You can live somewhere else. It's not quite as pleasant. Let's say it that way. You're going to live somewhere forever, though. Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter, and he's going to live with you forever. I like that concept because when things get real bad on earth, Tori, guess what? Holy Spirit's with me forever. Wherever I'm at, he's there. So if Jesus is always with me, man, we're good to go. Nothing can happen to us. Nothing can happen to us. Yeah, the Greek word means that word another, means another of the very same kind. So he's saying the Spirit's going to be just like himself. Holy Spirit would represent Jesus in every way. He would mirror Jesus to such a degree that whatever Jesus would say is exactly what the Spirit would say. Think about, now I want you to think about this. Y'all ain't near as excitable as my Sunday school class is. But I'm working on it, okay? I'm hoping after a few more days, you guys are kind of, woohoo, yeah, go, teacher, yeah. But the Spirit is just like Jesus himself. Jesus said, I got to go away, but I'm going to send somebody just like me, and he'll always be with you. And you know what I like even better, Arlene? Not only is he with me, but he's in me. Once he gets inside, it's hard to get him out. I like that. I like that. So remember his words. Remember his words of rest and reassurance. And this word of restoration is next. Remember his word of restoration. And I like that last song y'all sang that you sang, and it was perfect. You listen, I sit in church sometimes, and I think, okay, God, is this really what you want me to talk about? If it is, you need to give me a sign. And when I was listening to the words of that song and I'm reading them, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. Remember what his words said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I know a lot of people get hung up on that word mansions in the Bible. Oh, he's going to prepare me a mansion. I'd like a pup tent in heaven. Because I don't plan to spend much time in the mansion. I plan to spend time at the river of life. And some of y'all will be drinking out of it, but my feet are going to be dangling in it, so good luck with that, okay? You say, what do you mean? Listen, anywhere Jesus is the place I want to be. Jesus is here today in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you've got Jesus in your heart, if you've given your life to him, the Holy Spirit lives in you now. And so if that's the case, Gloria, I'm waiting for him to come back because he promises here. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, when Jesus is doing this, he's talking about a Jewish wedding. In the Jewish wedding, what would happen is the groom would go home to his father's house. Oh, my goodness. You can read it for yourself if you want to. After paying the dowry, he would go back home, and he would do a little remodeling at father's house, and he would add a room on for himself and his bride. Yeah, I've seen you guys doing that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He would go home, and he would build a room for himself and his bride. And then when he came back to get his bride, on the way back, he would shout really loud, and she would recognize his voice. And when she recognized his voice, Marv, you know what she would do? She would get ready to go home with him and say, we're going to go live in the place you prepared for us. Some of y'all ought to be shouting right now. That's okay. You're not a shouting church. I hope to change that someday, but that's okay. So his voice signaled his bride to come out and meet him, join the procession to the new home and the marriage feast. The analogy of the groom returning for the bride would have been obvious for the disciples. That we don't make the association because we live in the West, things are different here. But looking into the future, John saw the announcement of the marriage supper of the Lamb and recorded, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This is John. What was John doing? John was remembering his words. Remembering his words. So today we need to remember his words. Remember his words of rest and reassurance, relief and restoration. And I want to leave you this with this thought today. There was a little boy who was being trained to ride a bike by his daddy. Any of you kids in here, your dad has taught you to ride a bike? Any of you? One or two? Few of you? Yeah. Taught him to ride a bike. He said, son, there's three things you should always remember if you're going to learn to ride a bike. And his son memorized these things. Three things. Number one, keep your eye on the road. Number two, don't lean to the left or right. And number three, remember daddy's here. And so he would take off, and he's pushing his son, and he's running down the road, and his son's riding the bike, and he said, now tell me what daddy said. He said, keep your eye on the road, don't lean to the left or right, and remember daddy's always here. And so he's riding down the road, and he's repeating the rules, and he He's doing that. It's encouraging him. After each ride, the boy was excited and thrilled. After the third ride, his father ran alongside him, didn't say anything. The boy kept saying the rules. One day, the boy got on the bike and took off, chanting to himself, "Keep your eye on the road. Don't lean left or right. Remember, Daddy's right there." 2 blocks up the road, he looked back and Daddy wasn't there. He turned around and he came back. When the boy returned, his father said, "Son, let this be a lesson to you. You'll succeed in life if you keep your eye on the road. Never stray to the left or right. And remember, even when you can't see him, your heavenly Father is always there." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for what I felt in my heart today. I thank you for these folks. God, I pray you'll continue to be with us this week. Lord, if for somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ today, I pray that they'll come and confess their sins to him. Say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I've done mean, nasty, rotten things, and I ask you to come on my heart and save me today." God, have your way in every heart and life here today. Holy Spirit, touch hearts and lives throughout this week, we pray. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Preacher, it's all yours.